Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Christians are all the time trying to figure out just how to get God to give them what they want. They do this in their homes, their jobs, their marriages, relationships. And it seems book after book, conference after conference are all one way or another focused on these things. But one book in the Bible gives us a clear view of what God is after, what God wants. Listen again to Ephesians chapter 5. Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word, that he might present the church to himself glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she would be holy and without blemish. Yes, what God is after is a church, and a glorious church. Francis Ball has returned to the studio for more fellowship today on the glorious church. Welcome back, Francis. We've been on this topic now for a few days, but there's a lot here, isn't there?
There is a lot here, and I really appreciate what we're in for today, to see what God really wants.
In this passage, Francis, dealing with the glorious church, which, as we've seen again and again now, is God's ultimate heart's desire, Paul gives us 4 crucial words that become key factors in how it is that God can transform us from our natural condition as fallen, sinful people to become this spotless, glorious church, a bride that he can present to Christ. We're going to look at these 4 words today. Maybe you could introduce them to our listeners.
Well, the 4 words we're going to hear today are sanctify and purify. And he brings out the point that these words end with the same 3 letters, if I, sanctify and purify. And then 2 other words that we find in verse 29 are nourish and cherish. So these 4 words are going to be really the key to our grasping this message today. And I'm looking forward to how he's going to open this up to us for our experience.
Of course, the first 2 words that you mentioned are in verse 26, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her, or purifying her. We'll hear mostly him use the term purify or purification, but really it is the same word that many translations translate as cleanse, mm-hmm. which is the Recovery Version's translation that I just read. So sanctify and cleanse or purify. And then, of course, these 2 wonderful words in verse 29 that we'll get to later, nourish and cherish. All of these things are not just theological terms we're looking for definitions for, but these are all verbs, aren't they, Francis, which implies that there's an experience associated with them.
Absolutely. This is the key point in this ministry that Brother Lee has given us, that these are matters of experience, not just the letter of the word, but what is the experience of the person himself. So that's what will come out, I think, in a very clear way in this message.
Well, let's join Witness Lee with our first segment today, and then we'll be back to fellowship in a couple of minutes.
Sanctification means a kind of spiritual addition, and purification means a kind of spiritual subtraction. God's economy is not to correct us. God's economy is not to change us. No. Regardless, you are good, you are bad, it makes no difference in the presence of God. Because God's economy is not to have a good man instead of a bad man. That is morality. That is ethics. That is the main thing Confucius teaches. God's economy is to work Christ into us. Sanctification means some addition, something added into you. What is this something? That is Christ. Nothing is worthwhile. Nothing is of any worth. Nothing is of any value in God's economy, but Christ. But Christ. God's economy is to work Christ into us. So sanctification, especially here, doesn't mean just to be separated. Sanctification in Ephesians 5:26 means to have the new element of Christ added into you. There is a big difference between the proper sanctification and the human behavior. What God wants today is just to add Christ. Add Christ. Some element of Christ, day by day, could be added into your being. And this addition of the divine element of Christ will be sanctifying you.
Francis, the traditional concept or definition of sanctification has to do with being separated unto God. And in our behavior, if we work at it, we can practice a kind of outward separation. We can separate ourselves from all of the worldly things and all of the common things. But that is not the kind of sanctification that's going to produce this glorious church that he's after, is it?
Not at all. Matter of fact, that is a real hindrance to what God wants to do in his sanctifying work. I know when I was young, I used to hear when people get so religious about what they believe, they would call it being sanctimonious.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of a good word to put to that because it's something phony.
Mm-hmm.
But being sanctified doesn't mean that you dress different. It doesn't mean that you try to improve yourself. This word, sanctification, or to be sanctified, is a matter of adding something to our being that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
That something is added to our being is Christ himself, in all his attributes and all that he is, being added to our being. That's the sanctifying work. And to be sanctified in that sense is really an experience. It's not a doctrine. To teach the doctrine of sanctification, as many have done, is far, far from what the Scripture teaches about being sanctified. To be sanctified is something living, something infusing, that's something added to our being that makes us like the one who's being added to us.
Mm. I wrote down a phrase that he was speaking because I think this understanding is so critical. We use this term, or I think our listeners have all heard it by now many times, God's economy, talking about what God is doing to work out his eternal purpose in us and through us. God's economy, now I'm quoting from his speaking just now, is not to have a good man instead of a bad man.
Mm-hmm.
That is morality. That is ethics. God's economy is to work Christ into us. This is a revolutionary concept.
Yes. This is the marvelous revolution we're in the Lord's recovery. That God is working Christ into our being. This is what we treasure. This is what we realize. This is what the Lord is doing. He's not teaching us to be better. He's not teaching us to improve ourselves. He's only teaching us that Christ is everything. And only when we have Christ infused into us are we sanctified.
Because his element, his being, of course, is sanctification, is sanctified, is separated, is not common and separated unto God. So the addition of this element has the effect of sanctifying us along the way, doesn't it?
Yes, it has much more to do with what we experience of him working himself into us than it does about our behavior.
Let's go on now to the second of the four terms today. Cleansing or purification, as we'll see. I know in several of our previous life studies from the Old Testament, when we would use this word or see this word in Scripture, pure olive oil or the pure gold, it meant that there was only one element there. So we're going to see his definition today of purification. If sanctification is the adding of something, purification is the subtraction of something. And let's find out about just what is being subtracted.
Then purification. Sanctification is a kind of addition. Purification is a kind of subtraction. Subtracting what? Your natural disposition. The Lord Jesus would never care so much for your behavior. He cares a little bit for your character, but he mostly cares for your disposition. When purification does the work, it means what? It means the addition of Christ will carry away your natural disposition. It subtracts your natural disposition. What is to be purified? To be purified is simply to have your natural disposition carried away, washed away, cleansed away. By what? Not by the doctrines, but by the living element of Christ added into being. All the element of Christ is living. It brings in something of Christ. It carries out something of yourself. Whatever is of Christ, it brings in. Whatever is of Adam, it carries out. On the one hand, you have the addition of Christ, and on the other hand, you have the subtraction of Adam. Gradually, Christ will be added into your being, and gradually, Adam will be subtracted from your being. Then you have what? Then you don't have a change. Instead, you have a transformation, a metabolism. And this is to sanctify and to purify. The Lord Jesus, when he was in the flesh, he went to the cross and he gave himself to the church and for the church there in the flesh. After he did this, he was resurrected. And he is now the life-giving spirit, sanctifying you and me, and purifying all of us. If we do open up ourselves to him and say, Lord Jesus, I take you as my person. I tell you, he, as the life-giving spirit, will do his work to add himself again and again and again into your being to sanctify you. And by doing this, he will carry away all your oldness, disposition, Adam nature, out of you. This is purification. Now you have the sanctification and you have the purification. Have you got it?
Francis, just as we've all discovered, I think, along the way, the futility, the vanity of trying to sanctify ourselves, to separate ourselves, there's also a futility in trying to rid ourselves of our natural disposition, isn't there?
There certainly is a hopeless job to not be what we are. Our disposition is really what counts, because when you think you see a person that has such a good disposition, we think he's more godly, he's more sanctified, but actually it's not so. Just a good disposition or a bad disposition doesn't matter that much, because either case, it's not Christ.
Right.
So what God wants to do is have Christ in us, who is both adding himself to us and at the same time subtracting the old Adam from us, our old nature, our old way, our old habits, even our old disposition. He's working on this all the time, to work himself into a cleansed vessel, purifying it as he works. So our purification is really a matter of cleansing, as most translations put that word.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a cleansing of everything old and everything that's not Christ. It's old Adam nature and everything related to it that is not Christ. That's being cleansed away. It's being subtracted. While Christ is adding himself to us, he's also subtracting away all the old nature with all these adjectives that are all these terms that he used. Our oldness, our natural man, all these things are not what God wants. God wants Christ. And so he put Christ into the believers to sanctify them, and now he's working at the same time to purify them.
He mentioned in this verse, of course, we have Paul alluding to the fact that Christ's work on the cross was related to the church here. And he brought in the fact that giving himself up for her means, mm-hmm. of course, he was offering himself up on the cross, but was resurrected Following this, he became the life-giving Spirit, and now it's the Spirit's work that is transforming and at the same time purifying. Let's talk about the Spirit's role in this most important process.
Because he's now the life-giving Spirit, that's how he gets into us. Because we have a Spirit, and that Spirit gets regenerated when we receive Christ. But that is the Spirit that's operating in us all the time to sanctify us and to purify us. The Spirit is really Christ in another form to be life to us. He's the life-giving Spirit. And in his life-giving, he's also cleansing, washing, so that we are being purified, but we're being sanctified at the same time.
When we look at these two things, the sanctification being a kind of spiritual addition and purification being a kind of spiritual subtraction, it reminds me of John the Baptist. And he said, referring to Christ, he must increase and I must decrease. That's a very prophetic word there, isn't it?
Right, and that's exactly what this is all about. This is a matter of the increase of Christ and the decrease of self.
Okay, our third section today, we're going to come to these two words that crop up in verse 29. You mentioned them early on. Verse 29 says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ also the church." So the third and fourth of these active words, these verbs that we're looking at today, Francis, in the glorifying process of the church, are nourishing and cherishing. And I am looking forward to this portion because these are very sweet, very tender, and very intimate expressions of how Christ is working in us to produce a spotless, glorified church. Here's Witness Lee once more.
Now, we have to say a little about the other two words, nourish and cherish. Without some amount of experiences, we could never understand these points revealed in the Holy Word. Whenever you are open to the Lord Jesus, taking him as the living person, no doubt, right away, he sanctifies you. He sanctifies you by adding himself into you. And at the same time, he purifies you. He carries away something of your old disposition out of you. You have to know, at the same time, when he sanctifies, when he purifies, he would give you some nourishment. How do you know? Let me tell you, when he is sanctifying and purifying, you have such a wonderful satisfaction. What is that satisfaction? That is the nourishment. The satisfaction comes from the nourishment. When the Lord sanctifies you, he nourishes you. When the Lord purifies you, he nourishes you. At the same time, the Lord would never nourish you without cherishing you. When he nourishes, he always cherishes. Just like your mother, when you feed your little babes, you always cherish the little one. Check with your experience. Whenever the Lord sanctifies you, purifies you, he just nourishes you and he just cherishes you with warming you up, with a kind of heating. Just warm you up, a kind of inward heating, fostering you, cherishing you, comforting you, satisfying you, sometimes calming you down. All the cherishing always goes with the nourishing. Only the living Jesus within you, in your spirit, as well as in your heart, to be your person, can do this sanctifying, purifying, nourishing, and cherishing job. No other one, no other thing can do it. So don't trust any teaching. Don't trust any doctrine. You have to put your whole trust for such a job in this living Jesus. I tell you, this is the way the Lord Jesus today preparing his bride.
Well, everything here, surely experiential. As we've talked today about the natural way to try to sanctify ourselves, the natural way to try to change our disposition, what we end up with is a kind of practice of asceticism, a kind of a vain religious self-effort, self-help thing that has only the end result of leaving us desperately defeated and upset, in turmoil and undernourished, and certainly lacking the cherishing. But if we're experiencing the sanctifying work of Christ, Francis, I liked what he said. We are ultimately are fully satisfied, and we're being fed and we're being cherished, aren't we, along the way?
This is marvelous. I just am enjoying these words that he just spoke. They are so rich and so full of tender love, care, nourishing, supplying. No matter what he does in the way of sanctifying us and purifying us, it's always with the nourishing and the cherishing that accompanies it. And this is so precious, to be in the Lord's hands while he's building for himself a dwelling place here on earth,
right,
in us. He needs this kind of sanctifying, and he needs this kind of purifying. And then when he's doing that, he's also nourishing us. Whatever kind of thing we go through, he's supplying us, satisfying us, richly ministering to all our needs, not by some kind of teaching, but by he himself coming into us. Of course, the Word of God is full of this nourishing and cherishing. And when we see these words in their context here in Ephesians 5, verse 29, we realize that this is so experiential. It's really so much to us to be able to be nourished and cherished by him. No matter what kind of things we're going through, we have to remember that what God is doing is really adding Christ into us to be our life and everything to us. And to do that, he's subtracting everything that's not Christ. And while he's doing that, he's nourishing us. He's cherishing us. He's making us comfortable. And he's making us full of joy. There's nothing like the enjoyment that comes by being nourished with this wonderful operating God.
Really so. You know, Bible students or theologians may step in and say, you know, you can't reduce such wonderful spiritual terms as sanctification and purification to these kind of experiential treatments that you've given them. But I think Paul has done it for us here by incorporating these words nourishing and cherishing into the same context. Certainly, these are not theological words. These are, as you said, sweet, intimate words. And this is the context in which he's talking about the sanctifying and the purifying process. So it's not too much to apply it in this way.
No, absolutely. It's not too much. We need more of this kind of application in our experience. Once you experience this kind of enjoyment of the Lord, then you realize the doctrines can't do this for you. Only the Lord, the living Christ, as the life-giving Spirit, can really accomplish this.
Well, Francis, we're on our way to becoming what we certainly are not in ourselves, and that is a glorious bride, spotless, one that is sanctified, now purified, nourished, and cherished by our dear Lord Jesus. I look forward to more of this kind of fellowship in the coming days.
Amen. I am looking forward to it also.
Thanks again for your participation today. Hope you'll come back again soon.
Thank you. I'd love to.
Well, our time is up. If you'll contact us, we'd love to give you information about how to receive the printed life study message. Thank you for your fellowship.
Thank you.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.